What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. They're going to make us wait for it. Of course, Perloff, it's the nightcap on Sunday, last game of the divisional round. Got some bigger spreads, too, for some of the earlier games. Looking like, what, 8.5?
For the Texans Chiefs, right? 9.5 for...
Commanders and Detroit Lions.
And then 6 for my Eagles. What on earth is that number about, Maggie?
Well, you love talking about the weather. And I think that the Rams coming to the East Coast, having to play outside, might be a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams looked awful when they came. That game was against the Jets in New York. Their offense looked like they didn't want to be there. So I do think that's a big factor. That's why these teams who mail in the early part of the season, like the Cincinnati Bengals, like the Baltimore Ravens, maybe next year you won't do that, because Baltimore does not want to be in Buffalo. That, unfortunately, this, we keep talking about this, Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. Weather is going to be the ultimate story. I just don't think we're going to get this quarterback battle. 8 degrees, Meg. I just said 8 degrees at kickoff.
I know.
And that sucks.
But at least no precipitation. So it's not going to be a snow game, which then, you know, becomes its own thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to really be a running back versus linebacker kind of thing, especially on the Bills aspect of it.
And two running quarterbacks. Right, not just running back. I think Josh and Lamar will run a lot.
And then obviously it's going to come down to all the other things that crazy games come down to. Weird turnovers, guys out of nowhere making big plays, big calls, you know, all that stuff. And hopefully we get a good game. Hopefully we get a game like where there's not some controversial ref call that decides it or something stupid. I really hope that this is about the guys on the field.
I don't mind a controversial ref game. Those are always fun.
Yeah, well, ask the Green Bay Packers, who got a controversial call against your Philadelphia Eagles that probably changed the tenor of the game. You don't want it to come down to that. So that's all I'm
looking for. I don't want it to be like that. Remember that game where the Niners beat the Packers in the freezing cold, which was one of Aaron Rodgers last year, and their only offense was a block punt? Like, that's what I don't want. I'm afraid we have two all-time quarterbacks going against each other, and that ball is going to be a rock in midair, and they're not going to be able to do anything. That's what I'm concerned about. I feel like that would be a bummer, because we're almost like losing this great battle.
It hasn't even happened yet. I mean, let's not say we've lost it before it's happened. I know it's going to be really cold, but I think that's part of it.
Remember,
and I think that's where the Bills deserve some credit here. And if you're asking me who has the edge, obviously, you know, my fandom is all part of it, but I think the Bills have done a better job of turning themselves into a cold weather team. Now, I'm going to disagree with you. I think the Ravens are a cold weather team. You're talking about Lamar Jackson, you know, being from Florida or whatever. He's been in Baltimore now since 2018. It's not warm in the winter in Baltimore by any stretch. So this isn't the Dolphins coming. This isn't the Chargers coming at East Coast. They're right there. It's the Mid-Atlantic. It's the same thing.
Lamar Jackson, I read yesterday, the coldest game he's played in is 27 degrees. So this is 19 degrees colder than any game he's ever played in.
Okay, so this
significant.
Is for people who are living in Arizona right now and who are living in the South and even maybe in California, whatever, are not going to understand this if you've been lucky enough to live in warm weather your whole life. I'm going to tell you, this is someone who's lived in cold, dark, awful weather my whole life. Anything under 27, I think it's basically the same. And I've lived in a place that's gone to -5. Like, it's about wind chill. And once it gets that cold, it's just that cold.
I think 27-8 are pretty significant. I'll bet you, we should get somebody on this, the metrics. I'll bet you the passing goes down 20 degrees lower. I mean, it's got to be. Remember Miami, Kansas City last year?
No, that was ridiculous.
It's not that different because it's not just 8 degrees. I think the wind chill is going to be bad, too. And I think there's some wind. So I think that I can't imagine that there's going to be big passing games here.
It's always the wind that does it.
But that's why Buffalo got so lucky because they have this crap division and they have owners who are really struggling. I feel like, but Baltimore lost to the Raiders in week two, so you can't blame them.
That was a lifetime ago. And then they beat the brakes off the Bills in week four.
No, it's a lifetime ago. This is why the game is in Buffalo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's why this is, you know, you got to really pay attention to this. I mean, wouldn't you feel completely differently if Buffalo had to go down to Baltimore for this weekend?
Yeah, I home field advantage definitely matters. I'm not going to argue with you there. I don't think Lamar Jackson is not a cold weather quarterback, is what I'm saying. This isn't Tua coming into the game.
Lamar Jackson's 10 coldest games of his career. He's 8-2. The temperatures range from 36 to 27. Now, those two losses, one was to the Chiefs, one was to the Bills in the playoffs.
Right, but eight.
And that game was crazy, by the way, because it was a Taron Johnson pick six that actually decided that game. Go ahead.
I think you guys are crazy. 27 and 8 are not the same thing. Like,
it's all cold.
That is just not true. And we see, like, this weekend there were games where it was about 30 and the quarterbacks had no trouble at all. Eight, the quarterbacks will definitely have trouble. They have to grip the ball. The receivers have to catch that frozen rock. I think you guys are naive to what this impact is going to be on the game. No. I could be wrong. But if they both throw for 350 yards, I'd be shocked.
No, they're not. But Lamar can run. So
yeah. So could Josh, yeah.
It's not like Jared Goff's out there in this cold weather and he's a pocket passer and now he's got to make this happen. Like, Lamar has the weapon.
Now, to Perloff's point, though, in these games, Lamar Jackson has never completed more than, looks like 17 passes except for one game. And in most of these games, he threw for less than 200 yards.
Yeah, I
but
saw
you know
that,
what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's had two games his career below freezing, and he got 300 yards in both games. Like, he's never had a big passing game in the cold.
He didn't have a big passing game last week against the Steelers. This just might be the formula.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He didn't have a big passing game against the Bills the last time when they won by 25 points, by the way. That was not the passing game. Derrick Henry and they ran for 200 yards. They ran for 250 or 60 yards in that game. That's it.
Well, right, but we're not going to get the full Lamar or the full Josh Allen, which is a shame, which is fine. I mean, they both have to deal with the same issue. I would like to see, remember when Josh Allen, the Bills played the Lions and it was like 45 to 41? Yeah. Like, these are two amazing quarterbacks. I would love to see them in a warm weather game, have all their weapons available to them and just, you know, battle mano a mano. This is going to be more about like grit, which is one thing, but it's not quite as entertaining for me. I like shootouts.
I said I wanted a dome on the Buffalo Stadium, yeah, yeah. But I basically got my Bills Mafia card revoked.
I know. My stupid tax dollars, because Buffalo is the only New York team going to build this another outdoor stadium.
Silly. Brad is in Oregon, wants to talk on something that we touched on with the whole quarterback situation with Lamar and Josh Allen and legacies and just ring culture, which I blame or praise, however you look at it. I blame Michael Jordan for that. It's like, if you didn't win, your career doesn't exist. And I think that's a fault. That's not a good thing about sports. Brad, what do you think?
Personal with me.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for taking my call. Great show as always, guys. I think we put too much on a Super Bowl ring. I'll take Fran Tarkington, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly over Doug Williams or Joe Flacco any day of the week. But my main question is that, if Patrick Mahomes had won two Super Bowls and on the verge of maybe winning three, wouldn't we still be talking about Patrick Mahomes because he got to two Super Bowls? But if he didn't win either one of them, but what he did on the field all year long to get there, wouldn't we still be talking about Patrick Mahomes as one of the best quarterbacks out there playing today?
I think he would have gotten like the John Elway treatment, right? You're saying if he had gone to those Super Bowls and lost, is that what you're saying, Brad?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I think we're putting too much on. I mean, Doug Williams and Joe Flacco, okay, you won a Super Bowl, but where are you going to rate them as far as being top quarterbacks?
Now, I mean, I have Joe Flacco number six all time.
Right, once you win more than one and you win three or four and, you know, you're in the Tom Brady era and the Joe Montana and things like that, yeah, then you get obvious that you're going to be a top quarterback of all time. But because you won a ring, I don't think that you can turn around and put above other quarterbacks.
It's funny, Brad. Thank you for the call. Perloff and I were having this discussion in the break. I said, I think there's a lot of people who would rather be Joe Flacco than Jim Kelly?
Josh Allen.
Well, we talked about Josh Allen. Yeah. I think you would even say Jim Kelly. I think there's a lot of people who say that who would rather have that one ring, and I think it's a function of like what's going on in sports now. And it's I blame some of the athletes. Again, Michael Jordan, I think Derek Jeter used to say this, if you don't win, everything is a waste. Nothing good happened if you didn't win. And we've taken that and just ran with it to the extreme. There's no more process over results. We like to say that. People inside sports sometimes will say that. But as far as us and certain athletes who have been very vocal about it, there's no process. It's only the result.
Well, it's funny. I said I was flabbergasted. I'm like, there's really a person out there who would rather be Joe Flacco than Jim Kelly? And you said they're out there, and it seems like this caller said they're out there too. Please call in.
The or person Josh Allen.
Who wants to be Joe Flacco over Josh Allen. I think this might be a generational thing. Like, I think you're a millennial, like the participation trophy thing. Like,
yeah, I am.
EJ's a millennial and loves the in-season tournament of the NBA. Like, we're old school Gen X. Like, it was all about winning the title. It was all about the team winning the title. That's all that mattered. Like, individual awards meant nothing.
So you, but let's take it to someone who's a little near and dear to your heart, Charles Barkley.
Yeah, love Charles Barkley.
Right. Do you think his career didn't matter because he never won?
Well, it mattered, but I'm not putting him in top five players of all time or top 10. Like, he definitely is the next tier below because he didn't win.
Come on, man.
And he would, you know who would tell you that? Charles Barkley, of course. Like, winning, because Tom Brady, to his credit, like, he would, he'd do, and Mahomes, they'll do whatever it takes to win. That's all they care about. Mahomes' numbers were terrible this year, and he's perfectly content to do that. Tom Brady had 50 touchdowns with Randy Moss, and then he just pulled back. He was perfectly content to do whatever the team needs to win. And to me, like, that's the ultimate athletic achievement, to be a team-first guy. Football is the biggest team sport, and to me, that's how you judge it, by how you fit into the team, not by what you can do individually.
Sure, but, you know, and not to bring this back to a conversation from 30 years ago, but do you think that Jim Kelly was not doing what the team needed him to do, and that's why they lost those Super Bowls? That's not true.
No.
You know, I mean, that's not true.
Yeah, but that was like, honestly, I think like the AFC was such garbage back then that like the Broncos and the Bills used to run through it.
You think that Josh Allen is not doing what he needs to do? I would say this year is a total example of Josh doing whatever it takes, which is not having the gaudy passing numbers that he's had in the past, trying to make the smart play as opposed to the wow play.
Right, that's why this is Josh Allen's first legit MVP season. I love Josh Allen. Of course I would take him. I mean, not everybody can win a title, but if you don't win the title, then you don't get to be, you don't get the flowers, right? Like,
What I worry about with our ring culture now is you didn't exist if you don't win a ring. Like, we're talking about in the future, if Allen and Lamar, and let's just say Joe Burrow, if they never win a title. How are we going to remember them?
But we're talking about culture, and ring culture sounds a lot healthier than non-ring culture. Non-ring culture seems like it's about the individual. Ring culture seems like it's about the team. And you want, like, being about the team is a much healthier, cooler thing.
I get that, but I think really, there have been really great teams. Like, do you think that the New York Giants were the better team or the New England Patriots were the better team in the 2007 Super Bowl? It's obvious that the New England Patriots were the better team. They did everything better. And on one day, the Giants beat them in a low-scoring game where someone made an all-time great play.
Right.
And does that totally throw away then the fact that the Patriots went undefeated the rest of the season? Like,
yeah,
you would say
totally.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
See, I think that's unhealthy. I'm not saying that Tom Brady deserves a participation trophy, but I think that's unhealthy to just say what happened on one given day totally negates an entire season.
For me, the ultimate moment in the whole Patriots dynasty was 2002, because it was a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When the Patriots didn't do individual announce, they ran out as a team and they kind of broke a trend. That nobody was anybody. It was like, and that's the Patriot way. Like, you are a member of a team. I don't care if you're Tom Brady or if you're Larry Izzo, you are the same value. Like, team, and the great, that's like, and I know Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are giant stars, but that's another example. Like, everything's about moving the ball and team. The great teams play as a unit, and they are not individuals. That's what makes sports great, when, like, you can put your individual, desires to the side and do everything for the team.
But I don't think you would say that to Kurt Warner's face. I don't think you would tell him you were selfish and that's why you lost to the Patriots. It doesn't make any sense.
That was another great team. I mean, like, listen.
That's what I'm saying. They lost that game to the Patriots not because people were being selfish. It's not because the Patriots introduced their team all at the same time.
Well,
you sound insane saying that.
I'm not saying that is exactly why the Patriots won. The Rams are the same way, by the way. The Rams, like, very much a team.
They lost that game because a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. The Patriots had a better defense. I think because Bill Belichick was spying on the Rams, and I think because it came down to a last second play. I think the Rams got introduced one guy at a time.
I'm not saying they won that game because I'm saying they had a dynasty because of that. Because Bill Belichick said you came in there and you put your individual, like, is definitely the key. You put your individual, whatever you wanted, your desires, your individual goals to the side for the team. Like, you might be a great wide receiver, but you're going to run out and you're going to block every play. And if you're not going to do that, you're going to get cut. That's what great teams do. And I think there are other teams where the wide receiver is like, I need targets. You know, that's, to me, that's the most defining factor of the Patriot way. Do your job.
And no, I get it. But you, by saying that, you're denigrating. You're saying basically, you're kind of implying like Torrey Holt is the reason they lost, which is so not true. He wasn't selfish. He wasn't me first. Like,
there's no way I'm implying that. I didn't even mention the Rams. This is about what made the Patriots great. The Rams won a Super Bowl too, and they're very much a team-oriented team. They had Dick Vermeil, for God's sake.
I know. I guess the way I was saying is you're saying you thought that the Patriots dynasty was because they all put aside their personal egos to be about the team.
Yes.
And I'm saying the teams they played against, who they beat.
Right.
You're kind of implying that they were doing things the wrong way and the Patriots are doing things the right way. And I don't think Kurt Warner was selfish, and I don't think that Torrey Holt was selfish, and I don't think it's not one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, eventually what happened with the Rams was Falk and Warner, they all got, like, Falk got selfish. Like, there was big problems. They totally tore apart.
But not that season. Like, that's not why they lost.
I'm not saying that's your point of one game. Just in general, this team philosophy to be team first over individual. It's obvious, like, there's nobody who could say, like, a team full of guys who are focused on their own numbers is better than a team puts everything aside.
But usually the guys who focus on their own numbers, if they're really that selfish, they're not even getting to the Super Bowl. Like, they're not even there in the big game. It's generally, I think, the teams that play that are the most complete and healthiest, but the most complete actually playing this game. So just because you happen to lose the game doesn't mean your team was a bunch of selfish jerks.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this idea of ring culture sounds like a bunch of guys who'll do anything to win, do anything for the team to win. And that's like the defining characteristic for great teams. And by the way, the Rams are a great team. I wasn't saying like the Rams are hot garbage because they lost that game. And also, I think that Giants team had a lot of that going on, the team that beat the Patriots. I mean, I don't think this is a hot. You're looking at me like I'm saying some crazy theory. This is sports 101, right? You want team players.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe am I not explaining it right? Because you're basically, the way I'm taking it is that if you lose the Super Bowl, it was worthless. You didn't play together. You aren't playing for each other. You aren't sacrificing just because you happen to lose one game. To me, that doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm not explaining.
But when I hear ring culture, I hear, oh my God, it's all about the championship. That's like, by the way, to get the Super Bowl is pretty tough. You probably have to have that same mentality. When I hear ring culture, it's like, forget everything else. I don't care how many stats I have this year. It's all about the ring. And that's sort of what all champions have in common.
Not five, yeah. Not six.
I don't think that the 90s Bills were like lost because they weren't playing for each other.
Yeah, I would never say that. Okay. But you would say the teams that were great in the 90s were probably, except for the Cowboys, but who knows what was going on there, they were probably playing for each other. That's football, right? Like the guys, it's a brotherhood of men. Like ask any champion, be like, what was the key? Like, man, we were out there for each other. We were playing for our coach. We were playing for our team. Like we had each other's back. That to me, that's what ring culture kind of implies. But you see it differently. You see it more as like ring culture denigrates anyone who didn't win the
exactly.
ring.
Exactly. That's what I think ring culture is.
Defining the term quite differently.
Yeah, I guess the whoever loses the champion is the biggest loser. Pete Bellotti, who was our former board op, used to see the world this way: second place, first loser. Right. Like, and I that's how I define ring culture is that if you didn't win, it didn't matter.
I'm a great time.
In a way, we're talking about different things.
Yeah, I guess we are.
See, when you say ring culture, like ring culture is the opposite of EJ caring about the in-season tournament.
Well, let's leave the in-season tournament. Ramon is in Indianapolis. Ramon, what do you think, pal?
As a former college baseball player who didn't win anything then, but then was a youth coach who won a title as a youth coach, that was the most exhilarating thing I've ever had happen. I'm telling you, looking at the 10 and 12-year-olds jump all over the place, families happy. I mean, tough situations. To win one in football, Joe Namath have lived on one. I disagree with the last caller. Joe Namath lived, and he has been a god because of one Super Bowl win in New York. Doug Williams, sir. The significance of Doug Williams winning that Super Bowl goes far beyond what I think you really understand. And you're talking to an African-American male.
Yeah.
That win was significant for a whole lot of reasons, Doug Williams winning. I met Mark Rypien on a plane with Mike Ditka years ago. I always loved Mark Rypien. He won one. We don't even think of Jim Plunkett, and he won two with the Raiders. You're going to tell me Eli Manning's regular season numbers are horrible compared to everybody else. But those two rings make him a god. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is get one in
football. Wait, Ramon, can I ask you a question, though? Just you said you were a college baseball player. You never won anything. Then you became a youth coach, and you won with those, and that was the most exhilarating. But you were trying your best when you were a college player, right?
Oh, we were trying our best.
Right,
we just got our heads busted. We were trying our best. And then in baseball, Shohei Ohtani couldn't even bat in the World Series. He's going to hoist that trophy and be treated as a god in Los Angeles. It is, you know, it's not so much as ring culture. Is it just the spoils of winning? And even when you're not the responsible, maybe, like Shohei in this case, or if you go back and look at Drew Brees won one, he's a god in New Orleans. Phillip Rivers didn't. So we don't talk about Phillip Rivers. You miss about Phillip Rivers. Look at his numbers. They're fantastic. Right. But he never got there. He didn't even get close to get in there. So I'm not going to denigrate. Phil Sims got two. We don't even mention him. You think Terry Bradshaw was a great quarterback because he has four? Terry Bradshaw wasn't a great quarterback.
That was 1982. The wide receiver ran out and got tackled. Like, but that was a different football game back then, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't. He's not mentioned as a great quarterback in
the echelon of the
Montanas and the Mannings and the Bradys and everybody else.
He's not that far below. He's top 10.
He's forgotten about when it comes to that. But, you know, that one title means something in football. It means something. And here in Indianapolis, remember the owner said when Peyton Manning, when he cut Peyton, we should have had more than one, considering what he was doing. That's what Jim Irsay said.
Yeah.
But we live on that one title even right now. So I just want to throw that out there. Yeah. That one matters in football more than probably any other sport. Oh, and Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas. What about him? You got that
huge one.
Big one.
He's a god.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking my call.
Ramon, thank you so much. It's a lot there.
But people know one thing, like, there's different levels of this thing, too. Like, Trent Dilfer is not the same. There are different levels of the ring winning.
I think what we're talking about, too, in some ways, it's kind of a compliment to all these guys. We're talking about the upper echelons, because you're right. We're not talking about Mark Rypien as much. You know, we're talking about defining the best of the best.
That's actually a good point by Ramon. When that caller mentioned Doug Williams, I was like, oh, Doug Williams is special.
That was a very different one.
Yeah, and also Doug Williams almost led the Bucs to the Super Bowl. Like, he was a good quarterback.
But the Mark Rypien is, you know, again, Bills.
Yeah.
He's remembered because, you know, Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. Mark Rypien was one of them. But he's not, just because he has the ring, doesn't mean he's talked about in the same way.
Yeah, we could do a list of forgotten Super Bowl quarterbacks. Trent Dilfer is obviously the poster child. Everyone talks about the bad quarterback who won, and it's Trent Dilfer. But there are a few of them. Brad Johnson.
Right.
Well, love Brad Johnson.
It was just defense first teams.
Yeah.
Defenses were so amazing.
Plunkett's a weird one because he won two and he didn't make the Hall of Fame. And there are a lot of people who think he should. By the way, all these guys you mentioned, they're funny. Like, these guys are scrubs. They're all number one overall picks. Every single player. Plunkett number one, Eli one, Bradshaw one, Namath one. So it's not like they were scrubs.
No, not even close. 855-212-4227. These quarterback matchups, man, this is what they bring out in us. All of a sudden, we're talking about games from 35 years ago. Talking about whether you'd rather be Joe Flacco or, you know, I saw a DP show yesterday, Joe Flacco or Phillip Rivers, they were talking about. We're talking about Joe Flacco or Josh Allen, or would you rather be Jim Kelly or, you know, Mark Rypien? 855-212-4227. I hope somewhere Mark Rypien is listening or one of these older guys. Like, hey, we didn't forget about you.
our callers definitely don't forget about them because they love calling in and talking about these guys. It's like it happened yesterday.
I know. 855-212-4227. All right, we've got a lot to get to, including picking some upsets for the weekend. Who's more likely to pull off a real upset? The Buffalo Ravens game, that's like a pick'em. Not that one. Who actually can turn some heads in the divisional round? We'll get to that next.
Wow, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. An NFL draft prospect just walked into the room, Maggie. It's Quinn Ewers. Oh, no, it's Andrew Bogish. We have to tweet out this side by side. I don't think Maggie's as sold as I am. You guys are literally separated at birth.
So I don't know. I never noticed it until yesterday. And a good friend, a former coworker of mine, pointed it out on Twitter. Now, he knew me when I had my hair shorter and no beard. So it really makes sense on his end. That might be why Maggie's confused.
Right, because, Ewers has sort of the buzz cut. Did you ever have that? Can you find it? I did a side-by-side photo. We'll put it out on social media.
Can I see it? I haven't seen the tweet yet.
I actually just emailed the picture.
Okay.
Zig Fricasse, let's call him out.
Yeah, America knows him.
Yeah. So you have the same face shape. I don't know what the shape is, but like you guys have the exact, like your head is shaped exactly the same way.
How many different shapes can a face be?
Well, I don't know, but I think Bogus and Ewers are it's crazy. I 100% see it. If you guys had the same length hair, he's got shorter hair now, then it would be, I mean, you could double as
Are you Quinn Ewers' dad?
I'm probably.
You wish.
I probably was physically capable of being it, right? And age-wise, how young is he?
He's 21 now.
Yeah, great. Good times.
That just dawned on you that a college quarterback, you could be old enough to be
their dad. I hadn't thought about me and Quinn Ewers' familial connection, no.
But by the way,
you kind of do look like him, folks.
Folks,
not
so
gonna lie.
I don't think he's ugly,
shape.
So I'll take it.
No, I think it's something about the way, like, your face, it's the jaw, right? The bottom of the face is, like, the same shape.
Well, Quinn Ewers' draft stock just plummeted because Bogus is not a good-looking dude.
Manny!
Oh, did I say that on that? Oh, my
yeah, mic's coming over there.
On. Yeah, mic's on.
This is Perloff and science. The quarterbacks have to be good-looking. That's not fair.
I mean, the funny thing is, quarterbacks have to be good. All athletes are generally pretty good-looking. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, who's in this draft?
Here's me with short hair.
Okay, I actually think
more
like Ewers now than that photo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. But also, you guys have the same smile. I don't know why, and it's delightful, I might add.
I want to go back to
It's like a warm hug.
This is a pretty good-looking draft, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, you got Andrew Bogish in there. You have Cam Ward, Shador.
Here's my wedding picture.
See, I think you look more like him now.
You look like Will Howard in that picture.
Wow, look at me. I'm all over the place.
Also, you got a lot of pictures of yourself in your phone.
I took a picture of...
It's your wedding day.
Yeah, it's my wedding day, Maggie.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay, that's normal.
Maggie, you have a lot of pictures of your son on your phone. That's a little weird.
And I'm not any of them.
You call him Bogus a narcissist because he found a picture of his wedding day photo?
I mean, where do the treadmill videos live? Whose phone is that?
In the cloud.
Okay.
You do look like Quinn Ewers.
All right.
You do.
And unlike Manny, I'm going to take it as a compliment to both me and Quinn that we would both be drafted higher because we don't look like Carson Beck.
Yeah, by the way.
The strays.
I've never seen any other human being that looks like Carson Beck. That's why people think he's an alien. Seriously, you should be thrilled. Like, I've never gotten a quarterback comparison in my life. Maybe if you squint, Mike Glennon. That's what I got.
Little Mike Glennon.
You don't have really the neck that Mike Glennon has.
Know, I don't even know if Alan Bowman is in this draft. He's like played college football.
He's in the World War II draft.
I don't know what he looks like, but I think I probably look like Alan Bowman. No, I don't at all.
Alan Bowman sounds like your CPA. That's
Davis Webb. I think I might look
you
like
don't.
Him. I don't know what Davis Webb looks like.
I've interviewed Davis Webb.
He's tall and skinny, though.
Definitely not.
You don't look like him.
Not at all.
But he's kind of nerdy, but you don't look like him.
I'd rather be you, though, Prof. I'd rather have actual quarterback friends than randomly looking like Quinn Ewers.
I feel like you look more like a basketball player, like Mike Dunleavy, Jr.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Take that one to the bank. Thank you. Number 3 overall pick. Hello.
He's almost blushing. Anyway, it's like you're hitting on him.
I understand what you're saying about Davis Webb, but Davis Webb is pretty much as big a nerd as an NFL quarterback can be.
That I can't wait for that guy to be a fired Jets head coach. Yeah. It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. This is great. Do you guys, Manny and EJ, do you guys look like any pro athletes? What do you get? EJ, you have one, right?
No, I don't. Nobody says I look like anybody.
But bad job by us that, you know, Bogus, we work with him every day. We talk about Texas football all the time.
Yeah, Zig had to bring it up.
I know. I feel like we're slacking. It's like our fault. We should have had this comparison 2 years ago.
No. 2 years ago, Quinn Ewers had the mullet. That was so overwhelming. When Quinn Ewers' mullet, I was trying to find the side-by-side photos. Quinn Ewers' mullet is a totally different person. Like, they're not even, I don't even actually know if it is the same person. I don't know if the NFL wants
like
to
the
do
same guy.
A DNA test. That. Like, if you're, by the way, did you guys like the mullet? Like, is he the same guy? Everyone's like,
he looks way better
he
now.
He looks like John Daly with the mullet.
Yeah, but everyone's like, oh, he cut his hair, so he's not going to turn the ball over as much. I don't know. I think the mullet, because what, is he a third-round pick now? I think the mullet could get his draft stock up a little bit. You guys didn't like the mullet?
No,
the mullet was the best.
It made him look like he was like John Daly in waiting.
He looked yes. He looked unserious to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he said.
Wait, you guys don't like John Daly? I think the mullet was so cool.
You guys don't
I wanted
like
to bring
mullets?
It back. Baseball.
Bogus, have you ever rocked
works.
A mullet?
No, but I have a lot of hair in the back of my head right now. I'm very overdue for a
just let
a
it
haircut.
Let it flow.
And we're starting to get a little flip back here. So
why don't you get like
let it ride?
Get a Quinn Ewers length. And then you could walk around the combine pretending you're Quinn Ewers.
Get a man bun.
I think the huge bald spot, if I did that, would be a giveaway.
I think the bald spot with the mullet is a special combination.
Are you mad at me, Maggie? I'm confused here.
No, we're talking it out. We're just spitballing.
We're workshopping.
A bald spot and a mullet.
You always talk about your bald spot. We can't see it.
I know. Because I'm facing you only.
You walk out of the room backwards.
By the way, we're going to do Quinn Ewers' draft stock later in the show, right? Because
I'm not 100% convinced he's going to stay in the draft, though. He has until February 7th to pull his name out of the draft and go back to college. I think this is a negotiating ploy.
He made a video, though.
Yeah, once you actually put in the editing and time, that's a good
that's
counterpoint
binding.
By Bogus there.
It was and a goodbye video?
He knows him.
You know how he thinks. You're familiar with how he thinks. Yep, Bogus looks like Quinn Ewers. It's true.
All right, you want an update?
It is a nice thing that people can say. Like, we're all extremely online, and people say really mean things about what we look like. So, Quinn Ewers, you should take it and run with it, folks.
I was feeling very good about it until Manny said that we were both ugly. Or at least I'm ugly.
Well, you had that coming to you with all the digs about the Knicks and everything.
Speaking of that, the list of 76ers that did not play last night included Joel Embiid, Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Moses Malone, and the mighty Knicks still needed overtime to win.
Looks like he still could.
In Philly.
Chance of let's go Knicks here in Philly. Brunson right side, pull up three-pointer is good for Jalen Brunson.
Pat O'Keefe on Knicks Radio. Jalen Brunson scoring 16 of his 38 in the fourth quarter in overtime to rescue a 125-119 win. A victory that means basically nothing, yet we've got two dudes wearing celebratory Knicks jerseys this morning.
I can't believe it.
Everybody, Philadelphia, 76ers, then fly, Eagles fly.
I came in, first thing I said to EJ this morning, it's like, why does it feel like the Knicks blew out the Sixers in overtime? It felt like we were romped. And you know what I mean, EJ? Like the game didn't feel close. The Knicks were up by like 20 and fell asleep in the fourth quarter. I didn't even know half the players the Sixers were throwing out there. Who are those?
Same.
Who
is
Kelly Oubre?
Oubre, who's Edwards?
Edwards, and then who's apparently Philadelphia, and then some other guy that was playing. He like hit a bank three at the end of the third quarter. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
They're getting guys from out of the stands to play for the Sixers today.
Honestly, we should have a team of psychotherapists come in and talk to Manny and EJ about over-celebrating Knicks wins in January. It is
look
a psychosis.
It is
a psychosis. You guys look crazy.
No, like physically, look at you guys. The amount of Knicks gear that you own is just like, it's never ending. I feel like I'm living in the Knicks team store.
Yeah, Andrea's sick of it. But look, this is purely for Kurloff. This is
well,
this is
not Manny. Manny would be dressed like that no matter where he was going this morning.
For me, this is purely for
Kurloff. That's wedding attire for Manny.
I take particular pride in destroying the Sixers.
Yeah. Oh, you should. But here, I have a question about Joel Embiid because I'm not involved in this Knicks Sixers thing, and I thank the good Lord every day that I'm not.
To pray for that, yeah.
But I have a question for you. So, not to bring up old stuff, but Joel Embiid got hurt on Christmas because he fell over a security rope. Do we have footage of this anywhere?
I think we do.
I'm not calling BS on it. I just haven't seen it. Okay, we
have. I'm pretty sure I've seen that video.
Because it must have been horrible. He must have taken this ridiculous fall. Yes.
Well, he probably flopped.
But. Yeah, no, I wouldn't exactly call it that.
Okay, but this isn't more load management, right? Like he's actually hurt. Who knows? Whatever.
Yeah, the Sixers are totally lost. But you know, the NBA players themselves don't care who wins these games. Why do you guys care?
Like, so much for ring culture.
In January, they know it's a long season. They do not even break a sweat. They could care less how these games. Everybody in the NBA is focused on later. But you guys. You too.
I don't think the Cavs and OKC were focused on later when they played that awesome game last week.
And well, they should be. Soon, right?
They should be because... I think a lot of NBA players are much more focused on
the postseason. Josh Hart's been complaining about the Knicks' effort for the last 2 weeks.
If it's the regular season, right?
Right, but he cares. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are players who care, teams that care.
Also, obviously. If you care about getting home court advantage through the playoffs, like we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens, you know, they kind of farted around early in the season. They lost to the Raiders, and they are playing this game in Buffalo. They'd much rather be playing it in Baltimore, I'm sure. They could still win the game, but do you not believe in home court advantage in the NBA?
No, I think the NBA players don't care at all. I think they care 0%, and that's why the product in the early season is so meaningless. I really believe that. I feel like, and I've heard LeBron say basically that.
But I think you're
like, all that matters is what you're like in the playoffs.
But I think you're talking about the LeBrons. I think you're talking about the older guys. I don't think that the teams, again, like a team like the Knicks or the Cavs or those teams that haven't won anything, like they're playing... They're trying to win these games.
I think it means a lot to Darius Garland and your favorite player, Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell. And to exclude the Knicks from the conversation, you know, the guys, like you said, in Cleveland and in OKC, these games definitely do matter. And even those that are chasing them, they absolutely do matter.
Yeah, and I think besides the Heat, all those other teams that keep not taking the regular season seriously, it's hurting them.
We're in the load management era, which by definition means the regular season doesn't matter.
Andrew Kaplan put in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, there is the video of Joel Embiid falling. So thank you for that, Cap. Cap also said, am I salty about Bogus today? Did I say something wrong? You guys, Manny called Bogus.
That's every day. No, this particular you, Maggie, seems a little more pointed today for some reason.
Okay, you heard it too?
What did I say?
Virgil told me to have a bald spot and a mullet. That was the first thing.
You brought up the bald spot.
There was something else before that also felt...
Wait a minute, hold on. You brought up the bald spot, and I said, has anyone ever had a bald spot and a mullet? So I can't repeat what you said?
Mm-mm. You suggested doing mullet bald spot.
Which is crazy, by the way.
Yeah. There's no way to look good
awesome.
In that.
So suggesting it is like you crazy awesome.
Did it.
Crazy amazing is what it would be.
We call that the skullet, Maggie. You don't do that.
We call it single. We call it divorce in my house. Get out, you loser.
Sorry. Okay.
Irreconcilable differences.
Bogues and I at the bachelor pad.
Manny's like, come on over. Manny, got a seat for you right here on the couch next to me.
Come on, you freak with the skullet. Come sit next to me.
Knicks and Nets on the television. Let's go.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense because we're already best friends. And we work at the same place. We could commute in the morning.
Talk a little Giants quarterback options.
Right.
Talk about the Rangers
situation. Right, Manny Pucks and me watching hockey together. Me hate watching the Knicks. You love watching the Knicks.
It would be the worst 45 minutes of my life.
Or the best rest of your life.
All of a sudden, Bogus is just like cousin it on your couch. He's still here. Huh.
Why is he wearing my Mitchell Robinson jersey?
Bogus would wear it just to put ketchup on it and just like be disgusting. Like he would just, that would be hell, man. You would not want that.
Oh, I would have a closet full of sarcastic Knicks jerseys to wear during games.
Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry was the first name.
Yeah, a Michael Sweetney.
Exactly.
Georgetown's finest, Michael Sweetney. Yeah. Love that dude.
A little Lee Nalon.
Oh, the king of the 10-day
Lee Nalon was a Nick? Oh,
he's in everything.
Yeah, he was in everything.
Yeah, he got played on every team.
Man, EJ, that might be the deepest cut that's ever been cut on this show.
Random Knicks is my Jeopardy superpower.
Good
Trent
grief.
Tucker.
I don't know if you should brag
about
that.
Well, Trent Tucker was a star. I mean, that's
different. Yeah, he doesn't count.
Trent Tucker's like an all-time like great outside shooter.
I mean, a star.
Not a star, but he's a lot better than Lee Nielon.
Okay.
Chris Copeland.
Moochie Norris.
Oh, we can do this.
You had a Michael Kidd Gilchrist. Was he a Nick for
no,
like 20
but
minutes?
Melo gave him 60 minutes. Oh, that's right. No, he wasn't.
He was a Nick. He got traded to the. He got traded to the Knicks or signed with the Knicks, but never donned the jersey.
Mm.
I digress.
Okay.
Othello Harrington.
Oh, I was going to bring him up because I think Othello Harrington actually was playing basketball in Iran. I was like, get out of here. Iran has a basketball team.
And every country has a basketball league. It's so funny.
Well, we found out from Manny that Mexico is a women's hockey team.
Vamos, Astros de Jalisco.
I love living in 2025. I wouldn't give it up for a minute. People say they want to go back to the good old days. Where? When Mexico didn't have a women's hockey team? Why would you want to live in that world? Crazy. Bogish, thank you, and I guess I'm sorry. I was offending you today. Okay, we have a lot of things to get to, including this crazy, crazy, crazy conversation that we got into yesterday. We'll tell you about it next.
You suck.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bogus.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, we got into this conversation yesterday, Perloff. So the Bills and Ravens game is essentially a pick 'em. It started off as Bills favored by 1.5. Mm-hmm. I think now it's Ravens favored by 1.5. Like, it's flip-flopped. It's, you know, as close as you can get. And they barely do pick 'ems anymore, really. As far as the other three games, though, and mm-hmm. we've talked a lot about Bills-Ravens, and you're welcome to call on Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. We've talked about it all morning. But as far as the other games where you have the Commanders have to go into Detroit, you've got the Houston Texans going to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you've got the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Philadelphia. These are all bigger spreads, 8.5 points, 6 points. Who do you think is most likely to pull an upset out of those other three games? I'm not going to count Bills-Ravens okay. as any kind of upset.
I'm probably wimping out because it's the small spread, but it's definitely the Rams, and by a large margin, because the Texans are not good on the road. There's no way they're going to Kansas City. Washington is facing a juggernaut of a Lions team. I love Jaden Daniels, but I just think Detroit is a team of destiny. Now let's talk about the Rams-Eagles. The Rams, since Puka Nacua came back from injury, they started out 1-4, are legitimately among the NFL's elite teams. They have a great pass-rushing defense, and they have, obviously, Matthew Stafford, Hall of Fame quarterback, Cooper Kupp, Nacua, Kyren Williams is a great running back. Like, they right there talent-wise with the Philadelphia Eagles. The only reason the spread is so big, I think, is because it's in Philadelphia. So the question, and that's the only thing that makes me nervous. If this was in L.A., I would pick the Rams confidently.
Really?
Yeah. I think I think Stafford would be really good. Last time the Rams played the Eagles during the regular season, Barkley ran all over the Rams. So that's the big problem. I still think it's a hard task to win this game, but that is much closer. It should be a much closer spread to me. And I think the Rams definitely have a chance if the game is close. Because Hurts does not look like himself after the concussion. The Eagles are not really firing on all cylinders. Feel like this is going to be a game.
Interesting. I don't see it that way. I don't want to just overthink it. I think the Eagles are the better team. The Rams were super impressive, but I think the Vikings helped out a lot there. Sam Darnold, once he saw a little bit of pressure, completely shirked from the moment and had a really bad game. So I don't see it that way. I think the Eagles' defense could be all over Stafford. It's possible. And if he can't move well, then I know Stafford can get the ball out quickly, but I think he could be under major duress. I know this is going to sound odd, and I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, so I'm not naive here. But there's something about what the Texans found last week in their defense. This was a one-score game at halftime. It ended up being a one-score game anyway when these two teams met earlier this season. It was in Arrowhead. Chiefs won 27-19. It was a one-score game at halftime, and it was a low-scoring game from there on out. And I think what happened was Tank Dell got hurt in that game. Do you remember how awful that was? He had to get, like, I don't think he got ambulanced off the field, but it felt pretty close. He, I think, got taken out on a stretcher. It was bad. I think it rattled them and also hurt the offense. And they end up losing again by one score, 27-19. I think there's maybe something about the Texans getting another shot at Kansas City. And listen, I get it. Kansas City has basically had like a vacation over the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to be healthy and all that. But is there a world where maybe the Texans can jump on them in the beginning and possibly because of the defense sit on a lead? I don't know. I think that's the formula, but that's what I was looking at here. Because I also don't think the Texans can be satisfied with just winning one playoff game. Like, if I'm the Commanders, I don't know if this is real or imagined, but you've already overachieved this season. Mm-hmm. New head coach, rookie quarterback, you won a playoff game on the road. Everyone's going to be praising you. No one's going to say this was a disappointment of the season. I mean, they've done it. They've already achieved. Mm. The Texans are right back where they were a year ago.
Well, you got to remember, though, the Chiefs won 27-19. That was their biggest win of the year. That was a blowout in Chiefs terms. They play everyone close. Yeah, I would like to bet you head-to-head. Give me even odds on that, baby.
Oh, I mean,
it's an Arrowhead. Everything you said makes sense, but it's an Arrowhead.
855-212-4227 coming up. We're ranking quarterbacks.